Parks and Lands Division at Public Works, Clark County. Alex?
My name is Alexandra Harani, and I will be supporting Pat tonight with the board meeting, and Chris and I will be transitioning our roles, so thank you.
And Galena, I think most of you have interacted with her, but she is our division manager.
Thank you for having me.
I see Kirk.
Yes, Kirk Gresham, for advisory board at the Heritage Farm and a board member of the Heritage Farm Foundation.
And Sandy, saw Sandy earlier.
Yep, Sandy Brown, Heritage Farm Advisory Board and on the Farm Foundation and Food System Council.
Okay. I know Gary was trying to link up earlier. Did Gary make it?
I don't see him yet.
What about Rob?
I don't think Rob is going to make it today.
Okay. Oh, there's Rob right there. He just chimed in. Oh,
sorry, Rob.
Okay. I see Blair.
Yep, Blair Wolfley. I'm here. Friends of Heritage Farm.
Okay. And that's all that I can see on my screen. I know there's several other people. I think I saw Nancy Funk earlier.
Yes, this is Nancy Funk. I'm here. I'm on the board of Friends of Heritage Farm, also the board of the Master Gardener Foundation, and also do a lot of volunteer work with the food bank in the food bank fields on the Heritage Farm property.
And I believe I saw, let's put it this way. I see Joe Zimmerman. Not Joe Zimmerman, Bill Zimmerman. I see Joe Zimmerman too, but Bill.
Bill needs to unmute.
Am I muted?
you are now. You were.
I thought when I came on, I was unmuted, but anyhow, yes, this is Bill.
Okay, Holly Hansen.
He's here.
There we go. Sorry, I had to download the program to get in. Thursday, busy work days for me, so I.
Yeah. Would you just want to introduce yourself, Holly, and identify your interest?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm trying. So I'm co-owner of the Second Mile Food Hub and a farm. Am I not muted?
You're not muted, but your voice is cracking up quite a bit. But you're a new member along with Nancy of the Friends of the Farm Foundation. And Christine.
Hi, everyone. Christine Perry, WCU Extension Interim County Director.
Chris Walker, also from County Staff, is here. Chris, I know you've been working with Alex to make this transition. You want to just say hello to folks? And
yep. Hi, everybody. It's been great getting to know all of you. I'm going to pass everything off to Alex, but I'm sure our paths will cross again. Thanks, Pat.
All right. Thank you for all you've done, Chris. And Rob, I don't think I actually called on you.
Hi.
Rob, just for others, just let them know who you are and your interest.
Rob Freed, I'm on the advisory board with Kirk and Sandy and Bill and Kathleen and Gary. I'm an archaeologist and historic preservation specialist, and that my interest in the farm is the historic buildings.
Okay. Heather Tischbaum, fine.
You got it right the second time, Pat.
Yes, I know. I know. Apologize.
No, that's great. I'm Heather Tischbein. I'm on the boards of the Food System Council and Friends of Clark County.
And Joe, do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, Joe Zimmerman. I'm the farm manager at the Heritage Farm. And yeah.
Okay. Do you see? I don't see anybody else. Are there any call-ins?
Pat, we do have two call-ins, and I will unmute them simultaneously. So just one moment.
Emily,
do any of the call-in users want to speak?
Can you hear me?
Hi, this is Jackie Lane. I'm on the board of Friends of Clark County.
And Emily Cleo of Clark County Food Bank.
Excellent, thank you.
Okay. Let's see. We start off, any specific additions to the agenda that people have an interest in? Okay, didn't hear anything then. There are a couple of things that you know, I wanted to briefly speak about. The first is, you know, kind of the genesis of this committee, its role, and you know, what's role it plays in you know, moving forward the master plan for Heritage Farm. When Parks was first assigned our responsibilities at the farm in 2016, this group, which consists of the major partners at the farm, was brought together as a means of introducing ourselves to those who are active at the farm, and also as an opportunity to share information about existing and proposed activities at the farm. And we continue to use this forum as an information sharing opportunity while we solicit input and comment from this group over our areas of responsibility. The group itself is not in a formal advisory role. Meetings are recurring on the Thursday of every other month, January through November, from 4 to 5:30. The meetings are public, and we maintain summary notes of the meeting. In this remote interaction era, we rely on Heritage Farm webpage to post draft agendas, summary notes, and various meeting materials. The link we will certainly put into the notes. It is https://clark.wa.gov/public-works/heritage-farm-advisory-committee-0. I'm sure everybody got that.
Pat, I put it in the chat for you too.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. And for those wishing to submit comments, we encourage submitting comments by email in advance of the meeting. If people wish to join the meeting, they may call in at 1-408-418-9388. For each meeting, there is a distinct access code that goes with that phone number, so we have to post a new access code prior to each meeting. If meeting participants have comments during the meeting, we request that they use the chat function or submit an email during the meeting. That's only available to panelists or meeting attendees that have this WebEx platform. Other emails that come in will be read at the meeting during the public comments section, which usually occurs at the end of the meeting. And its comments occur after the meeting, certainly we welcome emails at any time on people's interest in the farm. So that's kind of review of the purpose of this committee, how it's used, and the sort of logistics of public meetings and the records that we keep. So any questions on that information? Okay. The second thing I wanted to talk about is a potential storage opportunity, but I'll take that after the Farm Advisory Committee report. So with that, I think we're ready to go on to approval of the January 21, 2021 meeting minutes. Anybody?
Pat, would you mind taking down the screenshot? It would be, for me, it would be better to be able to see everyone. Yes, thanks.
Okay, all right, Christine. Thank you, Alex. Alex is the host. She does all the technical stuff. And all right, so any motion to concerning the January meeting minutes?
I move that we approve the January meeting minutes.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
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 All right. Well, any opposed? Very good. Okay, we'll consider the meeting's minutes adopted. Okay, first.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but being as that I'm new, I didn't hear anyone say their names and I don't identify your voices quite yet. Could you, for meeting minutes, tell me?
It was yes. Sandy Brown made the motion. Kirk Gresham seconded the motion.
Thank you.
Sorry. One of the drawbacks of remote meetings. Okay, let me give you a brief update on the business and marketing plan. So we actually, after kind of being on hold during the peak of the COVID crisis, we're finally seem to be getting a little more traction. The council authorized engagement of Washington State University Extension together with the WSU Metropolitan Center for Applied Research and Extension to assist in development of the business marketing plan. So we're very welcome of that support. And the Metro Center, for those that aren't familiar, connects policymakers and community leaders with the expertise of Washington State University. So we get to draw on wide resources of the university, which is extremely important. WSU is currently putting together a project team with the expertise and attributes to complete project goals and is developing a scope of work for their effort. So that's kind of the status of, you know, really the nitty gritty of getting a business and marketing plan together. Another thing we've done, a first draft of the Heritage Farm Operations Manual has been prepared and forwarded to major partners at the farm for review and comment. It talks about roles of the different groups active at the farm. It talks about things like safety procedures and a variety of other things. As I said, it's a first draft and the major partners have are taking the opportunity to review that and make suggestions for any changes that seem appropriate. And hopefully at the end of that review, we'll all come together with a consensus document that we can integrate into the sort of a management structure and the business and marketing plan. Any questions on those items? That's kind of the highlights of what's happened with the business and marketing plan. Okay. Next item, I'll turn it over to the Farm Advisory Committee. And Sandy, do you want to talk about the busy things that you've been up to?
Right. We've been a little bit busy in the last couple of months. We've had several kinds of proposals and conversations and sets of recommendations going forward. And At the last meeting, we talked about the WSU weather station being updated and that they were going to install a new tower to upgrade the weather information coming from there. We did send them to the Historic Preservation Committee, and they put an application for, I think it's certification. Anyway, they did a presentation before the committee on the 3rd of March, and that structure has been approved. So they will be starting on that here soon. And so we're happy to hear that. During the process of getting ready for the hearing and so on, we kind of wanted to know what the history of the weather stations there on the farm were. There's two weather stations there. One's the WSU Ag weather station, and then there's a NOAA Federal Ag weather station there. And Ned and a few other people helped with some research on that, and we came across the fellow that runs the NOAA one and found out that it's been there since the late 1800s and was moved down from Fort Vancouver, and there's been records of weather from that spot for 100 years apparently, so, or more. So it's quite historic that we do weather data from that location, so it seems to fit very, very well with the history of the farm, and that we're just moving forward in the technology as we move forward. Taking ag weather data from that farm is something that's been done for a long time, but now we're going to update it into the current times. So so that was kind of exciting to learn the history of what was going on there and how the Heritage Farm has been part of that history and will continue for a while. So so we're happy to say that we had recommended it was okay, but it needed to go before this committee, and the committee did approve it. So I think they're getting ready to install that here within the next month or so, I suspect. Maybe Christine knows more, I don't know.
I think just to add to that is that so WSU Extension, and I think the research station before the extension came to the building, is so we've been asked, and we do we take all the readings and give the weather stations the data. So one of our staff go out there periodically and take the data and provide that information to both WSU Ag and to the federal organization. So, and we are kind of the contact person that they call when something comes up. So there is kind of a process in place so that that has been happening as far as keeping that going and moving. The one thing, Sandy, that I wasn't sure about is I know the wetland grant that's happening, and whether or not that is going to, I know that there was some talk of whether or not some of those, the buildup or some of the things that they need to add, if whether or not that's going to interfere with the wetland, kind of restoration piece. I wasn't clear on that.
From what we could tell and what questions we've been asking, we found out that it really is not going to interfere with each other. There'll be some distance between it, and there is some flexibility from the wetland. You know, there's drawings and then there's reality, is what I'm told. So, and there's flexibility on both sides to work with that. So it's more about the fencing than it is the actual tower.
Great. That was good to hear. I wasn't sure what kind of the outcome of that was.
Yeah, and as we discussed at the last meeting, the grant they did, I think in January, the grant was actually formally executed for that project. And so they're in the early design phase. I think they're looking for probably towards late summer to get together more details on the design, which would, you know, propose more specific locations for some of the improvements. So I think there's still time to work with them if there are apparently any conflicts that show up on down the line.
Great. I've been receiving all the summary reports from the projects, and I just haven't had the time to set aside to summarize those, but excuse me, I'm hopeful that by the end of April, I can get those more official summary reports turned in, and that may be helpful to the Metro Center as well to see those, if they want them, to see those summary reports about how much, what they've been doing, what their outcomes have been, the impacts in the community, additional funding that goes into their projects and such. So hopefully by the end of April, I'll have that done. In one of those, the Mason Bee project, we have a individual that's doing a Mason Bee project on the property and has been very successful, but she's requested to add a third hive this year instead of only having two. And so we've just reviewed that and said that that would be fine. So she's going to have three Mason Bee hives. And then she's creating a blog that people can chime into, and they're going to, on that blog, they'll talk about what's going on in the hives and how they're flying and where they fly. I don't know enough about bees to sound intelligent, so I should just stop there. But it's all about the activity around the hives and what's going on, and they're going to take some pictures, and they might even have a little bit of video and live action there, but kind of being the education component, because we can't have education, we can't have people coming out and doing things right now. So they're going to create that blog, and so that'll be going live here within a few months, I suspect. She wants to get all of the hives in place by the end of April. So that project's going to expand a little bit more as well. And then the one that's most exciting is we had a proposal for what we call an incubator farm project. He had a different title to it, but for all of us to understand, incubator farm project is right on with what he has proposed. It's a 5-year project. We approved it for the first 2 years, and then upon a review, then it could be extended for 3 additional years. He's asked for a 1-acre piece of land in which this first year he'll be prepping the area for the farmers to begin their work. And then next year he'll be selecting 4 farmers to be interns and to learn about the farming systems and grow vegetables and marketing of the vegetables and the whole thing about farming. And we've strongly encouraged him to interact with the Second Mile Food Hub and farmers markets and things like that as distribution, or how just does distribution of farm products happen as their education piece, and then how would they go about doing that? Do they need to create a market of their own, or are there markets that they can be part of? So it's kind of exciting that there's going to be this incubator project. It's been in conversations and been suggestions for a number of years during the master plan work, and we've heard the county councilors mention it as well. And so he's got a very good business plan set forth for this project. And so I think Kirk and Blair and a few others walked the farm today to select the acre of property that he'll be farming. So as soon as we can get that, I think Pat, you can address it. I think we're in contract, working on the contract to make that move forward. So we're really excited about that, and hoping that others will be as well.
Yeah, our general services, well, internal services now, it used to be general services facilities. They have a draft lease agreement that they've been putting together, a missing component of that were the specific delineation of the plot of land where it'd be farmed, so that could be appended to the document. And there's a couple of other provisions that would need to be filled out. But yes, I would say it's moving along. The one thing that to keep in mind, it may not move along as fast as, you know, people might hope, because it may have to go to council, who, before a plot of land is leased, they have to authorize that lease. So we're researching if that's the case with this particular property, but if so, that that would take a little extra time to run it through the council process.
Pat and Sandy, I have a quick question. I worked with Dustin last year. He worked with us in the food bank field, so I know him well. I've talked to him about allowing him to use some temporary space in the greenhouse to start seedlings and all. And what I just, if that's okay, and then what I need to do is get a date when he can start, because we're into seed starting now for the fields, and he's going to lose his window. I'm just wondering if it's possible for him to come and officially start and start seedlings.
That's not a question I can answer, but maybe Pat or Galena can answer that, because it's been a little controversial, but a question about when he can start with the planting season coming up and such, and then the contract.
Yeah, Pat, did you want me to jump in? If he's not saying anything, he's probably saying, sure, jump in. So we do need a contract. That's kind of part of the requirement that we have when it comes to leasing of any property. And like Pat said, this could either go to Kathleen for land that was previously leased, but if it was not previously leased, we have to take it to council. Sorry, no date yet, but we're working on it. And like Pat said, we do need to clarify the exact area.
Glenn, I had a thought on that. This is Kirk. I had a thought on that. And if Dustin's goal and Nancy's understanding is to provide a place for him to start his seedlings without any obligation from any one side or the other, it seemed like the worst case scenario is if it gets extended or put off till next year, the worst case scenario, put off till next year by the council, this individual could just give you seedlings to the master gardeners. I mean, there's, you know, they just are going to be sitting right next to the master gardener's seedling plants anyway. And, you know, it doesn't incur any liability nor any expense on anybody's part, you know, and possibly he could get his seedling started. If it's a go, then his timing is good. If it's not, he just lost a few seedlings.
You're the most creative person I know. I was referring only to the leasing portion of it. So Kurt, you are correct. The leasing part is what I was referring to.
Right.
The property management responsibilities here at the county are legislative. And like I said, for things that have been leased before, we can't take them to the county manager.
So well, he could start his seedlings then, but not put them in the ground or work the ground. That's.
So I just have a question. I thought that year one was soil preparation. So does he actually need seedlings this year?
Yes, he was going to actually start things and start growing things, prepping the land, see what it's producing, how it produces, what it needs. So he was actually going to do a whole season with some volunteer help. So, you know, I just need to know if we can allow him to move forward with that on our leased property.
It sounds, I interpreted what Lena said was that yes, he could do the seedlings in your area, but can't put them in the ground or work the ground until there's a contract.
Is that what you're saying, Galena?
I'm happy to talk to you, Nancy, and figure this out offline as well. The primary issue here is his contract needs to be signed before the land that he is leasing could be cultivated and utilized.
Sure, I understand that.
Okay. I guess I hate to be the devil's advocate around that, but it's using resources right at the farm, and it's using water and it's using, you know, and I'm not saying that I don't agree that I don't want this to, you know, like this doesn't sound like a fabulous idea, but again, this feels like a kind of a handshake agreement again of something that we're trying to remedy. So I would just be cautious about that.
Okay.
I have to agree with you, Christine. I think it's better to proceed appropriately. Yeah, because you never know. Yeah.
Okay. Any other?
Let's see. The only other thing is we had proposed some community garden fees, and there's not been any final decision on that. So I don't have anything more to report on that. And we do have a couple of new projects that are supposed to be coming our way. I've been having some conversations with people on some interest and some projects and saying would they go or not. And we're having some meetings in some upcoming weeks. So probably by our next meeting, I may have a couple more new things going on at the farm, but I can't really talk about much of them until we get a more formal proposal. So like I said, lots of new things cropping up. No pun intended.
It is getting to the growing season. Okay. Any other comments, questions of Sandy?
I had a question for you, Pat. This is Rob. What's the status of getting the garden, community garden fee increase?
Would you repeat that? I didn't catch the end of it.
What's the status of our recommendation to increase the annual fee for the community gardens? We've been waiting a couple months now.
I believe that any fee proposal needs to certainly go through Kathleen and probably council. And oftentimes, well, and it would probably also want to make sure that as the management of the community gardens falling under WSU, that that our language in our lease with WSU doesn't preclude something like that.
So I'm asking, what's the status of this? It's been over 2 months since we forwarded the recommendation. It was probably even maybe November or December, because we wanted to get the fee increased before the current season fees were the billing went out.
Hey, Pat, this is Joe Zimmerman. Hey, Pat.
Go ahead, Joe. I was going to add something after you too, but
okay. I apologize, folks. This is only you could call this hearsay, okay? But I was led to believe that they did charge $75 per garden spot this year. So that's what I'd heard, and again, it's just hearsay, you know, for me. But I was led to believe that we were already, you know, that they had been increased, and that's what they charged.
So to answer that question, again, I was under the impression that that it wasn't going to take effect until next year, because we had to make a decision for this year to, I mean, everyone has been already signed up. So we already had to make the decision by January 1st, because plots start, new plot contracts start January 1st. So we had to make a decision, but we let them know that it will be changing. So we had to move forward and already assign the amount that we've always been assigned. But we did. I was also under the understanding that it was changing starting for next year, and that we were assigning for those who turned it in late, that they would then be assigned to the higher fee.
Christine, if it helps, that was my understanding as well. And we did receive some comments. I'd have to search through my constituent file from folks who felt very, who had some concerns with increases. If I haven't forwarded to you, I will do that.
So then if the increase is going to go into effect next year, then that would have to go through council. So we probably need to work on. Is that correct?
I don't know, Christine, if you want to.
Yeah. Well, again, my understanding was, and again, I could be wrong with that, is that I thought that the understanding was that it would take effect because this decision couldn't be made before January 1st, when we had to have the contracts sent out, that it would take effect next year. It would take effect next season. And for those who turned in their contracts late, it would take effect. So we've already begun to implement the new change, but very few people turned in their contracts late.
And that's, and I'm fine with that. I think the, you know, that is what it is. But I guess what I'm saying is that if I heard right, someone said that that fee increase to be in place needs to probably go through council and also to see how it affects the WSU contract. So just making sure that that continues to move on and we don't get in the spot we were this year, where in November you can't do anything about it and then it puts it off for another year.
So if I may, just to elaborate on this, if it's a fee that the county charges, we have a very specific formula that we have to use. We cannot charge more than what our operating costs are. So there's a whole calculator that goes into fee development. We need to have through the parks department, for example, our fees are codified. So I want to be very specific here that if it's a program like Washington State University, Pat's point about it's not precluded in the lease. So if it's Washington State University program and they are charging fees and those fees go back to the Washington State University Extension, for example, we, as in myself and Pat, would not be involved in setting those fees. I hope that helps. It's because there's so many stakeholders in the process. We should certainly hope that they would collaborate with us, but if it's a fee we are charging, we cannot make any extra money in it. It has to be based on our actual expenses, and there's a whole process that goes into it. We do have to take it to council to get their approval. And our plan was, when we start working with Washington State University on the business planning side of this, of the farm, to help them kind of analyze some of these potential revenues. You know, there's cost effectiveness and things of that nature, but we're not going to tell Washington State University Extension what they could charge for their programs. That's not part of our lease agreement with them.
Great, that's clarifying. Thank you.
And again, just to clarify, the fees that are collected go directly back into the program. So they help to pay for the part-time community garden coordinator who coordinates the program, and for any supplies that are needed for the program, and it doesn't cover the whole cost. So I understand, I mean, increasing the fee is a good idea in the sense that we're not breaking even on it at all.
Okay, thank you for that discussion and some of the clarifications that have been offered. Next agenda item, we have a report from the foundation. Kirk, do you want to lead that?
Yes, I could, except we do have the chair of the foundation, Blair, is here with us. Unless you want to step in and do that, Blair, otherwise I'll talk about our website.
I am just fine with you talking about the website, Kirk. Go right ahead.
Okay, we have in the foundation, we do have several things going, but I think the most important at this point is that we have a contractor working on updating and improving our website out there, Friends of Heritage Farm. Some of you may know that it was developed nearly 6 years ago now, with several different philosophies at the time. We're trying to update the narrative and the history, and we didn't have things like the membership application form involved in the website. We didn't have any donate button or credit card ability on the website at that point in time. So we have these things underway right now. We're excited about, hopefully to get this up for testing here in the next 2 weeks so that we can step into the current generation. But that's consuming the biggest share of our time right now. We're really excited about what that could end up with when we actually get it rolling.
Okay, thanks, Kirk. Joe, do you want to sort of update things going on at the farm?
Sure. I made a quick little list here, and I'll just kind of scroll through them real quick. If anybody has any questions, please just raise your hand, stop me, or something like that. So this goes back to about the first of the year. So the first thing I had was we've been working on a tractor at the Heritage Farm. We have a Ford tractor that belongs to WSU Extension that has had some engine problems, had some starting and oil consumption problems. And fortunately, we were able to partially fix it. I'd say, you know, we extended its life by about 5 years. But the blessing is we could have turned this tractor into a brand new tractor for the cost of about, you know, $5,000 or $6,000 or $7,000 worth of machinery, you know, machining and parts and everything. We did it for $220. We put a set of piston rings in this tractor, and it's not running great, but it's going to run real good for another couple of 5 years or so. Had a machine called a cul-de-packer. I'm sure you guys are, you know, really thrilled to know that we fixed the rollers and got the rollers tightened up so that those are turning on the axle or not turning on the axles like they properly should. Had a problem with the shop bench, and so we put a new top on the shop bench and actually have a solid surface to attach a bench vise to now, and replaced the blades on a flail mower and cleaned and organized the shop. And after the snow event that we had, what was that? Was that the end of January or 1st of February? We had that snow event, and that knocked our vehicle gate out of commission for a couple of weeks. It asked Nancy Funk, it barely operated. And anyhow, the facilities crew came in and got that repaired. I feel bad because I could have done that myself, but it's a long story. They came in, they handled it. That's great. So what we get down to is just the last couple of weeks. I got to tell you guys a couple of things. First of all, started working. As you know, it's warmed up a little bit. It's quit freezing at night. And so I started doing some changes to the irrigation. And by the way, these aren't just changes because I felt like digging in the dirt. These are things like moving pieces that have the potential to get run over, relocating risers into a better location so that they're more usable and things like that. So I'm in the middle of working on that. Justin O'Day is ready to start tilling his high tunnel and fields and fertilizing. And so we got started working on those. That's number two. And then number three, I've started a project of kind of regrading the dirt pathways in between the fields. This is primarily the food bank fields and then between the food bank fields and the community gardens. And just so you guys know what it is they've become extremely high traffic areas. And so right now I'm trying to regrade them to make them smooth, till them, and then replant them with brand new grass. And hopefully this spring we can get them to, you know, get established and we'll have nice pathways again. But then my wife came down with COVID. So unfortunately, by the way, I've now received it as well. Essentially, I am at home for the next week. Well, I'm a half a week into my own 14-day quarantine. And so a week and a half from now, I will be able to get back to work. So unfortunately, I've got these three major projects I've kind of gotten started. And here I sit waiting to get back to the Heritage Farm to get those completed. So luckily, it's going to work out okay, I think. So if anybody has any questions, let me know, please.
Joe, it's Nancy. You'll be glad to hear that there was a crew out there today mowing and cleaning up like we've had a little bit in the past, which was good to see that maybe we're moving on some of those things.
I just wanted to actually add that we did set up, Joe, was you out, Greg Harvey's team to provide support, and then Nick's team is also out there visiting frequently.
Yes, as Galena was saying, and Nancy, you know, confirmed, yes, we have some other crews within the Parks Department that have generously and graciously stepped up to help. You know, they can't do a lot of things, but boy, they can definitely, you know, keep on top of things, especially, you know, grass mowing and things like that. And that's a great help. It really is.
Joe, okay. This is Bill, your dad. You said that you replanted those with new grass, those pathways and stuff. Is there a way that you can replant them with used grass?
No, I have not replanted them with grass. Besides, it froze a couple of days ago. It wouldn't be warm enough yet.
I just wondered if there was a used grass the way you were talking, but anyhow, okay.
A used grass would be tougher. You wouldn't have to wait so long before you put traffic on it and so forth, right?
Right.
That's a good idea, Bill.
Well, technically there is used grass. It's called sod.
Okay. All right. Hey, that gets us through the agenda. Did any comments come in? I will check my email, see if anything came in.
While you're checking that, Pat, I want to mention that we being Blair and Gary Garth, myself, and the incubator farm person did a walk around the farm today, this afternoon, and actually traveled most of the entire farm on foot, going over some of the history and some of the activities, what was happening where, and who was working on it. Blair has the corporate history of what went on out there for the last 30 years, and wherever we went, whatever we talked about, he could bring in. If you ever get a chance to go on a tour on the farm with Blair, I encourage you to do so, because he is. I can tell you. So thank you, Blair, for doing that for us.
You're welcome.
Alex, did you see anything else come in?
I show one more attendee who has joined us over the phone. I'm going to unmute them if we could get their name.
Sure, that'd be great.
All right, we have another call-in user. We had Jackie on the line and Emily. Can you identify who you are?
I think this is Justin.
Oh, Justin, thank you.
Yeah. I was wondering why I couldn't be heard.
Justin, anything you want to add to Joe's report on work you're doing at the farm?
I missed part of it because I had to get out of the car, but I did some tilling and planted a cover crop on either side of the tunnel.
All right. Well, thank you.
Yeah. And I wasn't sure if there was any questions regarding the siting of the incubator project.
I think
the map.
I think that Kirk spoke of he and Gary and Blair going out there earlier today with Dustin and kind of reviewing, you know, the potential area, and soon we might be able to get a delineation of where that is.
Okay. So Justin, the piece that we looked at that he's going to go forward with as far as locating is the proposal is to do 1 acre east of where the current organic garden plot is. So whatever distance we need to go east in order to get an acre. I think there's actually 2.5 acres in that piece of land that runs from the road, includes the organic garden, and then goes over to the fence. So somewhere east of the organic garden is the piece that he's most likely interested in at this point.
Okay. Yeah. Blair, it's 3 acres is under the organic field. So we used about 1 acre of it last year. There was 1 acre that Joe had put in cover crop, which is immediately attached to the organic field. So then as you go to the trees, but I'm not sure, I can't remember if some of the beekeepers are in part of that area or not.
Yeah, I think their location is primarily south of that.
Okay.
Yeah, and the area that is in the organic garden, I don't think that is even half an acre. So, yeah.
Can I ask a clarifying question, Blair, Nancy, Kirk, whoever has the answer? For us to complete the lease, it'd be very helpful to have a map that shows the area. I think Kirk did email me just a narrative around it, but it'd be great, even if it's just highlighted what area, and then I could add it to the packet for facilities to complete.
So Kirk, you had maps there today. Can you send her a map with that, with an acre, with a line drawn around that we talked about today?
Yep, I'll do that as soon as we're done.
Great.
And can we include Nancy too? I just want to make sure that it's not on top of their property, just so we are all on the same page. Thank you.
No problem. Oh, another related point, which it's just purely coincidental. The individual that's working on the incubator farm project also is a member of the bee association. So it's coincidental and nice that they're going to be close proximity out there.
Yeah, take advantage of those bees that are trying to adapt to the Northwest. Okay. That's all I see. Thank you all for participating. And our next meeting is May 20th. Oh, excuse me.
I'm so sorry. The storage thing. Sheds and such.
The second item I wanted to talk about. We have an opportunity for some of the groups at the farm, if you want to take advantage of it. Our sheriffs used to use the English Pit Rifle Range for training, and associated with that, they have some sheds that appear to be in decent condition. They may be made available to volunteer groups if they want to use them at the farm for probably most likely for storage purposes. The key is that we would two things. One, if anybody wants to take advantage of bringing these sheds on for storage, we would have to pay the responsibility for getting those sheds over to the farm, whether it's disassembling them, getting a flatbed, whatever, on the groups that are interested in using them. And the second thing is that we probably would need, if there is interest, an appropriateness review before the Historic Preservation Commission. But that's an opportunity. I don't know. How big do you think the sheds are, Galena?
Oh, can you? Yeah, can you see? So to Pat's point, I'm sorry, I could only see one person now, which is myself, and that's really weird. There's, like Pat said, there's of course review, historic preservation review. We also would need to do a transfer through our procurement department, but all of that aside, this is what most of them look like. I'm gonna have a volunteer go out and take pictures inside and out. There's also some tables, chairs, and larger storage units like that too. So we'll have a better inventory later, but kind of just wanted to put this in your thinking hats. Feel free to reach out to Pat and I if you'd like to talk more.
Yeah, the advisory board had had a conversation about individual projects wanting to put storage sheds on each of their projects. And we had had a conversation with the historic preservation group about doing that and how, and there was controversy over painting and colors and things like that, or not controversy, but conversation about that. And so I think we'd need to have a little more discussion on that appropriateness, and do we want to have an area where sheds are and everybody gets assigned that, as opposed to dotting them all over the property. And then if we need to do something else, you've got to move them and so on. So, I think it's great that there would be storage available, because more and more projects are asking for more and more storage. But I think a conversation about where and how would be appropriate as well.
Yeah, please let me know. I agree completely. There's also part of it that Pat said, it would literally be a transfer. We would not be managing You know, if something happened, it would be that program's responsibility to replace it. They would have to transfer it there. So just want to be fully transparent with you folks. This would literally be, here's the storage. And assuming, again, conditions are favorable with procurement and historic preservation, and then we'll move forward. So a bit of work here.
Is there a timeline on that, Galena?
We don't have a hard timeline yet. As we get closer to summer, I think we might be asked to start, you know, at least having a plan developed.
Okay, well, we can put it on our agenda for our next meeting. Get back to our conversation.
And Sandy, just to add, we do have other volunteer groups in other parks and other areas that might be interested too. So we're just kind of giving you guys first group a heads up, and then we'll start talking to other groups too.
Galena, if you don't mind, when that person goes out to take pictures, more importantly than pictures, if they could get external dimensions as well as external roof dimensions, because those to me seem super simple to move. They can be moved on a trailer with the, you know, any of the park's trailers, not to mention we've got a forklift at the Heritage Farm. I'm sure they come on and off really easy.
This is Rob. My suggestion is that we be sure that the approval and location, pardon me, are created ahead of time before people start moving the sheds out there, just dumping them on the property. And I think for the most part, sheds, the most appropriate part, a place would be near the greenhouses and the other buildings down below instead of dotting the land.
Unfortunately, so, Rob, not a whole lot of space down there.
Yeah. Can I still be heard here?
Yes, Justin.
Yes, we can hear you.
This is Justin. Yeah, and there's another point too, in that this bottom area where the shops and the greenhouses are, it really gets bottlenecked in the summer. And having storage space that's further up the hill would help minimize, not minimize, but it would help reduce people going up and down the hill to get supplies. Because it can get really busy on certain days during the spring and summer.
And well, I understand that, but I think in terms of the landscape, the historic landscape, having these structures around there, I would kind of doubt if the patient can go for it. Anyways, maybe our plan was to reorganize some of the existing building storage areas and create space for groups that needed it, and maybe. We need to work more on that and get that completed.
So not to hijack the meeting with this conversation, this just became available. We have not talked to other groups. We have other groups of volunteers that might be interested. So our next step will be, we'll send a volunteer photographer to take pictures. Joe, please coordinate with Kelly and any other information you need, and then we'll follow up with folks. And I agree with Sandy, more conversation to be had.
And again, it's nothing we're forcing on you. It's only if you want to take advantage of the opportunity and the logistics work out so that we are able to take advantage of the opportunity. And the county has no budget to be of any assistance in moving, nor assistance in maintaining sheds over time. Okay, that gets us through today's agenda. Thank you. Are there specific items folks would like to talk about at the next meeting on May 20? All right. Well, then we'll consider the meeting adjourned.
Thanks, Pat.
All right. Thank you all.
Thank you all.
Bye.
Thanks, Alex.
Thanks. Bye now.
Bye-bye.